Look around the room here for a minute. Look at your brethren. What do you notice about our fellowship? We're getting old, aren't we? The Bible student movement is aging. I saw a little note the other day. Somebody was trying to sell a t-shirt, and it said on the t-shirt, "I didn't know getting old would come so fast." I want you to raise your hand if you're over 55. All right? Raise your hand if you're under 55. Oh, well, this Milwaukee does pretty good here. That ratio is pretty positive. Wow. Well, in our lesson this morning, we know that there are special challenges to the consecrated getting into their elder years. And that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. We're going to endeavor to answer three questions. What are the blessings of getting old? Number two, what are the challenges of getting old? And number three, how can the elderly still find joy and fulfillment in their consecrated lives? Now, before we start, we're going to have a little exercise which is going to require your participation. Turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Now, this is a chapter you probably recognize from verse 1, but we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And I guess you can consider this like a little game, but I'm going to ask your feedback on a few questions regarding what we see here. Now, verse 1 reads this, "Remember also the Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." By the way, just to pause there, this was evidently from King Solomon, and King Solomon was evidently up in years when he wrote this, and he recognized that there are certain joys that start to go away when we get older. That's the "I have no pleasure in them." Fortunately for us who are consecrated, we have an offset to that. Verse 2, "Before the sun and the light and the moon, the stars are darkened and clouds return after the rain." Doesn't sound very positive, doesn't it? Sunlight, it's bright, it's wonderful. Well, now it's going to get dark and clouds are returning. All that sounds kind of negative. So you can see that this is having rather a negative perspective on getting old. But there are metaphors now beginning in verse 3 which are quite interesting and actually pleasurable to look at. Verse 3 says, "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble." All right, it's audience participation time. What's he talking about? What are the keepers of the house? It's the hands. The hands keep the house. And what happens? You know, for those that have Parkinson's, it's an awful malady, but we start to not have full muscle control. The keepers of the house tremble. "And the strong men shall bow themselves," or bow themselves. What might that be? Yeah, yeah. The osteopathic problems. I mean, when you see older men and older women, sometimes you see this. The spine starts to lose the firmness there, and the muscles become a little weak, and there's a bowing down. So it's the bending of the bones and deterioration of the bones. "And the grinders cease because they are few." Teeth. It's your grinders. I got teeth missing here and here. That's TMI, right? Too much information. But that's what happens as we get older, that we start to lose our teeth, and then at some point many of us have to have false teeth and things like that. "And those that look out the windows shall be darkened." What looks out our windows? Yeah, sight. We don't see quite so well. I know my eyes haven't done too bad, but for many of them, you know, you see older brethren have to squint or put their glasses on. I should be putting my glasses on now. We'll see if we get further. Verse 4. "And the doors shall be shut in the street." What might that be? I was talking with Russ, Brother Russ Martin, earlier. And I just got laid off from my job 2 weeks ago, so we were kind of comparing notes. He has gotten laid off a couple times in the past. And he says, you know, it's tough in the 60s to find a job when you get laid off. Why is it tough in the 60s? Because the opportunities are not there for older people. And they call this age discrimination. It's supposed to be illegal, but it happens all the time. You would rather have a 40-year-old to take a job than a 65-year-old, because if I'm going to invest a year of training in him, and he's going to leave in a couple years after that, you can contrast. Well, I think that's what this means. The doors to the shall be shut in the street. The opportunities that we have as we get older seem to get fewer. When the sound of the grinding is low, what might that be? Well, it could be hearing. Yeah, I think there's another metaphor that follows this. But maybe this is the heartbeat, the grinding of the heartbeat. That we're not quite being able to do the things that we did before. And one shall rise up at the voice of a bird. What's that? Insomnia. The sleeplessness that comes with getting old. You know, that little things wake us up. We don't seem to have that deep sleep we had when we were younger. That deep, restful sleep. The next one, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. I think that's the hearing. I tell you, this is a personal one for me. My hearing has gotten really bad. When I was younger, I used to work in a body shop. You ever been in a body shop? Bang, bang, bang. All of these noises going on. And I worked for several years that way. And back in the 70s when I was doing that, late 60s and 70s, we didn't have enough sense to put earplugs in. You know, they didn't tell us about all of the OSHA requirements and things like that. So today I've got tinnitus. I know Sister Deb says she has it. And if I'm in a room where there's a lot of noise, I have a lot of trouble picking out the signals from that. Many of us do. Verse 5. Yea, and they shall be afraid of that which is high, and terrors be in the way. What does that represent for older folks? Yeah, exactly, fear of falling. You know, we had a sister in our class, and her name escapes me at the moment. She asked Effie Wider. That's what wives are for, you see. Sister Effie Wider was in her 80s, and some of you old-timers, and there's not a lot of old-timers left that go back to the 40s, but she was very active in the Dawn in the 40s and 60s. I never met Brother Wida. He had passed away. But she was in her 80s, and I'll tell you, she was a dynamo. She would go here and there and always be involved in things. Well, one winter, she slipped on ice, fell, and broke a hip. That sister was changed after that experience. She didn't go as many places. And I remember we were helping her in one night, and there was a little step about this big. And what does it say here? Fear of that which was high. She was fearful of this little step now. She had fallen and broken. So now this represented another potential fall. And the almond tree shall blossom. What color are almond blossoms? They're white. This is the almond tree blossom. Look how many gray hairs and white hairs we have. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. Any thoughts on that? Yeah. There's a couple of ideas that might work here. You ever see a grasshopper's hop really nice, but you ever see a grasshopper walk? You know, it doesn't walk very, very well. It like drags itself. I think maybe that's the idea. Now, this next one, in the King James, is sad, because what the King James says, it interprets the metaphor instead of translating the metaphor. You see, it says, desire shall fail. Well, in the Hebrew, it's this. The caper berry shall burst. Now, anybody use capers when you make meals? What are capers? Yeah, little things like, we use them as appetizers, right? They stimulate appetite. So that's what the Hebrew says there. It's a beautiful metaphor for what? If the caper berry shall fail, it means desire shall fail. So King James kind of takes a little liberty here. They don't translate it very well. King James is a version anyway. But they tell you what it means there. But in the Hebrew, it's much more beautiful. Because man goeth to his everlasting home. From the writer here from Solomon, where's the everlasting home? It's in the grave, isn't it? And mourners go about in the streets, the funeral service, before the silver cord is loosed. What might the silver cord be? There's a lot of different suggestions here. You know, somebody said, well, spinal cord. Okay, well, I don't quite see it. But the connection to life, is kind of severed there. Or the golden bowl is broken. The breaking of our bodies, perhaps. Or the pitcher is broken at the cistern. Yeah, could have a reference to maybe lungs breathing. The next one here is the wheel broken at the cistern. The heart stops. And then we finish up in verse 7. And the dust returneth to the earth as it was. The body deteriorates. And the spirit returneth to God who gave it. The life force and future opportunities for life. So this is kind of interesting here, the way King Solomon had talked about old age with these metaphors. And it's really quite beautiful and instructive. Well, let's go to our questions, the three questions. Actually, question one and question three, we'll spend a lot of time on. Question two, not too much. What are the blessings of getting older? That's the question. I'm going to come back to you in the audience. I have a list here, and we're going to go through my list, but you tell me, to you, as consecrated followers of Jesus, what are the blessings of getting older? Who'd like to share something? Brother John.
I heard a sister say that aging was the process of learning to learn those limits. You were able to see more of what the Lord does. What you were doing earlier, now you see more of the Lord.
Boy, that's an excellent. It makes you think of the Apostle Paul that had that one thorn in his side. And he said, Lord, would you fix this? Would you take this? The Lord says, no. He says it again, Lord, would you fix this, please? No. Lord, would you remove the thorn? No. Three times. He says he asked thrice. But he says, my grace is sufficient. And I think that's the thought there, that we start to learn not only what our limitations is, but the Lord is pleased to follow through with those limitations and create strength through weakness. Brother Tom. Yeah. Experience. Learn from our failures and successes and make better decisions. Boy, beautifully put. What other blessings are there from getting old?
Retirement.
You know, I've thought a lot about that. You have been laid off now. I don't know if this is the start of Brother Stein's retirement or not. It may be. We're going to look at our options and take off at least 3 months, 4 months, and then decide whether we want to do something more or invest ourselves in retirement. But yeah, you don't retire when you're 20. That's for sure. Anything? Oh, there's a good one, Tim. And Tim, I'm going to take yours, watching your young ones grow, into bringing it a little bit big. The blessings of family. You know, as we get older, we have our family grows. Now, somebody will say, Brother Stein, you know, when I was born into a big family. Well, so was I. But I had no experience with my great-grandmother and great-grandfather, who was still alive. I knew them. Or my grandmother and grandfather. Even my mother and father. When I was born and growing up, they were just the authority figures of my life. Loving and kind. But, you know, I was still learning. But I'm a grandpa now. I've got 9 grandchildren, 5 children. And I've got all of these spiritual brothers and sisters, spiritual mothers and fathers, and spiritual sons and daughters in the truth. That's something that took a lot of time to get. It's a wonderful blessing. Anything else?
Learning to pray for each other.
Yeah, that's a good one. Learning to pray more intensely, seeing the answers to those prayers. You know, all this is encompassed in the idea of experience. Well, let me go on to my list, and we're really going to duplicate some things. These are all great things. By the way, here's a nice, another scripture from Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is precious than oil, and, here's the point, the day of death than the day of one's birth. That's kind of a nice fellowship question, you know, to sometimes throw out. Why is the day of our death better than the day of one's birth? Well, we already answered some of that. That's the blessings of getting older. Well, in my list, the first thing that I have listed here is that getting older has blessings in that we now have a history with God. Hebrews 6:10 says this, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Brethren, every one of you has ministered to the saints. You've ministered to the saints that are within your family by birth and by blood. and you've ministered to the saints in your ecclesia. You have ministered to the saints that you see and hear in our conventions together. And then there's many other opportunities there. That is a history with God. God does not forget those things. God knows how you have demonstrated your love for your brethren and for your families. And as we get into that good old age, we can reflect that God is not unrighteous to forget. We live in a very forgetful world, a very unthankful world. Our God, Jehovah, is not like that. He remembers everything. Every good thought that you had that maybe you weren't able to carry out in the blessing of others. He remembers that. And he gives us a credit for that. He remembers your wife. Brethren, sometimes we get discouraged about things. And we should use this scripture to kind of get rid of the discouragement. Remembering that God knows all about us. He knows all the blessings that he has given us to lead him to him and to have a closer relationship. My next item on the list is experience. In your responses back to me, you gave a lot of examples of experience. When we're young, we are inexperienced. Who would like to be operated on in the brain by somebody that just graduated medical school? You say, no, give me somebody that's been doing this 20 years. Experience is value. And again, going back to getting jobs, you know, when you have experience, you're more likely to get the occupation or the job that you want because your prospective employer knows that you can do what he is contracting with you to do. I was talking with one of my workmates, you know, about getting a job, and they said, well, David, you're real experienced. I see, I don't know what's going to buy me. And he says, you know, there's an irony. He says that they won't hire you for a job unless you have the experience, and you can't get the experience unless you get the job. So it's like a catch-22. Brethren, in your lives, you have made decisions on innumerable things, both spiritual and physical, everyday things, secular things of life. And by our decisions, we get wiser. We understand more about the world. We are able, by making decisions, to make better and better decisions because we get the feedback from that. This is a blessing of getting older. How many of you have seen a certain situation, maybe with your children or grandchildren or something else, and you see a situation develop and you say, oh, I know what's going to happen now. How do you know that? The answer is you've seen it before. Our younger brethren and our younger children and our grandchildren, they haven't seen many things, but you have seen a lot of things. And that gives you a caution flag. You know that there's certain areas that you want to stay away from. You know, I don't want to do that. You know from experience. Younger ones come to you for advice. At least that's the way it used to be. Maybe it's less today. Not so much of the brethren in the truth, but in the world we have a generation that knows everything. I guess that's not exactly new. I remember a quote from Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, that he had left home at an early age, went to San Francisco and got into a writing career. And he came back to visit his dad. And after spending some time, he says he was amazed at how much the old man had learned in just 4 years. What changed? His perspective changed, you see. He wasn't the know-it-all anymore, and now he began to respect and appreciate the knowledge that his father had. Brethren, within the church, there is a great deal of knowledge and experience, especially along the lines of serving God. Let's tap that. Those of you that are younger, I very much encourage you, get to spend time with your older brethren. Ask them about their life experiences. Ask them about how they solve certain problems in their life, how they came to certain decisions. This is one of the blessings of getting old. And, you know, as we see our older ones start to go beyond the veil one by one, we see those opportunities for getting that experience go away. So don't let it be lost. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, has this thought suggested. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Let us recognize the experience that we have. 1 Timothy 5:2 is another example of younger ones can go to the older ones. This is simple. It says, the elder women as mothers, younger as sisters with all purity. In Luke chapter 5:39, this doesn't have anything to do with aging, but I like the principle. Maybe it does. No man, also having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he said the old is better. Brethren, those of you that have reached your 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you are a great vintage. There is so much that the Lord has taught you that we can benefit by sharing one with another. The third item on my list we also mentioned, family connections, fleshly and spiritual. Children are a blessing, whether they be your fleshly children or your spiritual children. Paul, the apostle, called some of those his children, and we'll look at that. Proverbs 17, verse 6 says this, and I like that, being a grandfather now. Proverbs 17, 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Brethren, those of you that have grandchildren, they are your crown, according to this. They are such a treasure. That's a tremendous blessing of getting old. Someone gave me a pillow that I have in my study, and it's my back pillow, but it says, if I had known having grandchildren was so much fun, I would have had them first. Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Lo, children are an heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies of the gate. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, writes Paul, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. 2 Corinthians 6:13. Now for a recompense in the same, and he says parenthetically, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. And there's a few more examples of that. He calls Timothy his son. Let's go to our second question. And we won't spend a lot of time there because we can answer this pretty quickly with a list. What are the challenges of getting older? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul writes this. Wherefore we faint not, though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Well, that hits the nail on the head, isn't it? Brethren, we are all imperfect flesh, and from the moment that we are born, death starts to work in us. But after we pass a certain age, we see that decay he's talking about in our bones, in our muscles, in our senses. All of those things are slowly beginning to degrade and to break down. That's a challenge. Almost everyone here has some type of physical or medical issue. It's the way of life and imperfection. One of the things that I find particularly frustrating, especially in the past couple of years, is that I don't seem to have the energy I had before. Anybody else have that problem? It's frustrating because, you know, I remember things I could do. You know, you could work all night or drive all night to a convention while the kids are sleeping and whatnot. And now I can't seem quite to do it. And it's frustrating because I want to do more, but the energy isn't there. Memory problems. You know, we visited my dad in the nursing home last week. Kathy and I went over. Dad is 90. He's consecrated, but he has dementia, and he still has a wit. He can still dress himself, clothe himself, do everything he needs to do, but he won't remember what you said 5 minutes ago. He just has no scratch pad memory anymore, and he's getting to the point where who Kathy and I are is getting a little dim. I went in, I said, "Hi, Dad, how you doing?" He says, okay. He says, who are you now? I said, I'm David, your firstborn. He says, David Andrew Stein. Yep, that's right. But I had to remind him, you see. And I remember Dad and I had wonderfully deep conversations on matters of truth. Dad was a very good Bible student. And that has passed through the years. He just doesn't remember anymore. And that's very frustrating. Difficulties in traveling. You know, we've received love from Sister Isabel. She would like very much to be here, but she's at an age now where travel isn't an option for her, at least far travel. As our brethren get older, it becomes more difficult for them. And to that extent, they're not able to enjoy the fellowship that they used to have. Brethren, these are examples of the challenges we have getting older. Now, in all of these things, these are challenges whether you're in the truth or you're not. But for all of you who I know in your hearts, you want to serve more, you want to do more, you want to be more of a blessing, and this old body just keeps dragging you down as you get older. Brethren, go back to what we said before. God remembers the work that you did for him. These are challenges, but we have to rise above them. We should not let them get us too down. And so that brings us to our third question. How can we keep joy in our consecrated elder years? Well, first of all, remember the promises that God gave. The fact that you're getting older is no surprise to Jehovah. He knows what you're going through. Not only did he create the human body and understands the effects of sin and imperfection, but he has watched those that love him go through this process for over 6,000 years. God understands. He knows you have challenges and limitations. But brethren, he also rejoices when you push yourself. It will be tempting as we get older to say, well, I'm just so tired, I don't think I can go to meeting. That may be true. But can you push yourself a little bit more to get there? Remember what a treasure meeting is. Not only for the blessings that come to you, but perhaps more important, the blessings you can bring to others. Now, I don't say that to make anybody feel guilty. They said, oh, I can't get to a meeting, and Brother Stein says I should push myself, and now I feel really guilty. No, that's not the thought. Each of you must determine where your limits are. And sometimes you can't do what you want to do. But if you're not sure, what should you do? Try it. Push yourself as best you can. Here's some words from other servants who got old, ancient worthies. Joshua, in his old age, he said in Joshua 21:45, there hath not aught of any good thing which the Lord hath spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. This is Joshua at the end of the book of Joshua. He's getting quite old. And yet, through all of his experiences, he said, you know, when God promises something, I have never seen it not be fulfilled. Noah lived 950 years. What does arthritis look like when you're 900 years old? I think there was a great more robustness in those folks back then. But nevertheless, these ancient worthies experienced it itself. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 15, here's an example of the title of our talk. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. You know, I remember many years ago there was a camp song that was being sung at a Jehovah Witness camp that I was at. And the title of the camp song was, What's So Good About a Good Old Age? And it kind of went through like Solomon did with the metaphors and things like that. But it ended on a positive note that we have experiences with God. Judges 8, verse 32, and Gideon, the son of Joash, died a good old age. Him was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father. Again, for Abraham, Genesis 25, 8, we won't read it. Ruth 4, 14 and 15. Let's read that. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be Jehovah, who hath not left thee this day without a near kinsman. And let his name be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, who loveth thee, who is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. You remember Naomi, she came back from Moab, with both of her sons dead, and Ruth and I don't remember the name of the other daughter-in-law attempted to go with her, and only Ruth stuck with her. But I like this, that a nourisher of thee in thine old age. One of the blessings that we can have in our old age is by being nourished and helped by others. I give a little story that I told many times in different circumstances, but I think it provides a good practical lesson for the opportunities that we have in old age. We had in our class sister, now I lose it. Kathy, I need your help again. Brother and sister. Yeah, Davisky. Thank you. I'm going to say it's the pseudo-Fred that I'm taking to keep from me. It's making me cloudy today. Helen Davisky and her husband, Brother Walter, were in the Allentown class from the 1950s when it was first founded. And they were very faithful. And one day, Sister Helen came into class, and she was probably in her mid to late 70s at that time, but she came through the door, and she was doing this. Well, that's not the way Helen walked. She walked straight up, you know, there was no, but she was bent over. I said, Helen, are you okay? Oh, yeah. Did you fall? No, I'm okay. Well, what's the matter? She says, I had to paint the basement yesterday. You know, and we chastised her a little bit. Why didn't you tell us? Brother Larry and Brother George and Brother Al and I, we would love to have come over and done it with you. You know, we could have had some fellowship, brought some food. We could have had a great time. Why didn't you call? Well, I didn't want to be a bother. Have you heard that? Have you said that? No, brethren, we by our very nature, as consecrated individuals, we want to serve. We don't want to be served. We want to serve. But I want you to think about, Sister Helen took away a great blessing from the rest of us by not telling us that she had to do. And it was tough on her. As you get older, if there are things that other brethren can do for you, at least consider asking. Put yourself in their shoes. If somebody asked you, wouldn't you love to do it? Oh, yeah, you would. But don't hold back from being a blessing to others because you don't want to be a bother. I understand that attitude. We don't want to be a bother to the brethren. But most brethren would consider things, like in this case with Sister Helen, not to be a bother. So you that are older, please reconsider if you're bearing a burden, if you have a task that needs to be done. Just think of the blessing if you said, Brother or Sister, I don't want to be a bother, but I have to do this. Is that something you could help me with? You may be giving them much more of a blessing than you can imagine. Can you think of one exception among the ancient worthies who didn't seem to age? I give you a hint. He died at 120 years old, and it said his eyes had not diminished and his energy did not slack. Moses. For whatever reason, Moses preserved his health and his energy and his perception and whatnot in old age. But he's an exception. Of course, David and Solomon, others. Now, let's see, I'm not watching my time, so let's move on a little bit more. Another of the ways, let me go back here. We're answering the question of how we can deal with being old. We just mentioned this example with Sister Helen. And let's expand upon that, ministering to our older brethren. Brethren, we should be very much on guard and watching our older brethren to see what we can do. Now, there's a fine line here between being busybodies and being perceptive and available to help. You know, there's one scripture, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 4:11. It says, mind your own business. That's one translation of it. We do not have the right to put our noses into the private affairs of our brethren. We don't. But on the other hand, you know, that's one extreme. On the other hand, we have an obligation to reach out to our brethren to say, how are you doing? What do you need? How can I help you? They need physical help. Sometimes they need somebody to watch over them. I got a charge. We stopped to see Brother Laddie Stewart a couple weeks ago when we were driving back from Columbus, and we visited for an hour. And for those of you know that Brother Laddie, he's spiritually he's unflappable. I mean, he's going strong and whatnot, but physically he's quite weak. But I was delighted because he had two of his brothers there. Brother Gaylord and Brother Richard were visiting him. And I remember a year or two prior at an APSCO convention, Brother Richard was like a, how can I say, like an angel. He kept watching over Laddie. How are you feeling? Do you need anything? And I watched him all convention do that. He just hovered to make sure his brother was fine. These are wonderful examples. What can we do to help our brethren? Do our brethren need help to go to a meeting? Do our brethren need help to go to a store? Do our brethren need help to go to a doctor? Do they need help, as we mentioned, at home or in the apartment? These are important things. And there's another part of this dimension as well about making ourselves available is that sometimes our brethren are not able to get to as many meetings. And for those of us in our brotherhood that are widows or widowers, it's doubly hard because now you're dealing with loneliness. You have a change in your life where your companion of many years is not there. The scriptures have a lot to say about helping widows and helping others. Here's in James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Brethren, we need to have our perceptions up so that we can see what the needs of the brethren are. As I mentioned earlier, we would generally prefer not to be served, but that means that brethren sometimes are not going to speak up about their needs. So it's incumbent upon you to see that. Loss of family members. This is a very difficult thing as you get older. We've been talking about that for widows and widowers. Somebody evaluated the loss of a family member, at least in categorizing it in this way. When you lose your parents, you've lost your past. When you lose your spouse, you've lost your present. When you lose a child, you lose your future. We know brethren that have lost children. We know brethren that have lost spouses. We know brethren that have lost their mothers and fathers. In all of those cases, there's need, not just for the elderly, although when you get up in later years, you tend to see more death around you, at least the death of those that you knew. One other item is recognize the treasure your older brethren are. We've already commented on this, but we'll comment one more time. In the world, the elderly are cast off. You know, I feel badly. I don't visit my dad in the home as much as I used to, but sometimes the nurses will say, well, nobody comes from their family at all. They don't see any of their children or they're just dumped into a rest home and the family never visits. We should watch that carefully. There's very few things that you can do that encourage your older brethren as much as, can you tell me about your experience when this happened or that happened? Tell me about that. And, you know, especially those that are lonely, they love to talk. You have just given them the greatest gift in the world. Does it? You know, what was it like in the 50s or the 60s? Or what was Brother so-and-so like before he passed away? Or Sister so-and-so? What was it like raising children in the 60s? Brethren love to hear things like that. It's a blessing we can be to them. Well, let's conclude. I see Chairman is waiting on me. Brethren, if you are an elder and you are being challenged, remember, God knows every aspect of your life. You are a treasure to Him. He will never, ever forget the labor that you have done on behalf of the Lord and the truth and the brethren and your families. Don't fret over what you can't do. Rather, consider what you can do. As we get older, we do less. We can't escape it. But don't fret about that. Do what you can. And by the way, in that regard, I think about Brother Carl Higginsick. know, he had a lot of medical problems in his life, and whenever the Lord would close one door of service because of medical problem, what did Carl do? He just geared up and did something else. All the way up until the time that he died. He lost his voice. He couldn't speak anymore. So what he did? He called Brother Joe or Brother Tom. Give this talk for me. So don't fret over what you can't do, but focus on what you can. And brethren, rejoice. When we close our eyes in death, the next microsecond, the twinkling of an eye, all of those aches and pains, all of that energy that we don't seem to have anymore, all of that fuzziness in our thinking, our perception, is gone! In an instant, we will be divine creatures. We will see clearly. We will see our Lord. That is the hope of deliverance. Death is an enemy, that's right. And death causes us to grieve all the time. But when we as individuals die, the next thing we know is the glory that the Lord has in mind for us. May the Lord bless this to you.